Hi, I'm Pete Miller, President and CEO of the Institutes. We're a global not-for-profit whose mission is to educate, elevate, and connect the people focused on risk management and insurance. You're listening to Predict and Prevent, a podcast that explores how technology and resiliency can prevent losses before they occur. In each episode, we learn about innovative solutions and hear from leading experts on how they are making these approaches a reality today.
Welcome to the Predict and Prevent podcast. Flooding is a major problem worldwide, damaging homes and vehicles, claiming lives, and disrupting businesses and communities. While river and coastal flooding risks are mapped and often covered by government warning systems, surface flooding, or flash floods caused by storms and rain, often catch us by surprise and unprepared. But what if we could better predict when and where flash flooding is imminent? In this episode of Predict and Prevent, we explore how technology is transforming flood forecasting and prevention. We learn how a cutting-edge flood prediction system uses sensors and predictive modeling to provide earlier, more targeted alerts. Giving advance warning can help businesses and communities avoid the worst impacts of surface water and flash flooding. Our guest is Avi Baruch, the co-founder of Previsico, a leading flood forecasting solution provider that started in the UK and has expanded to the US. Avi holds a PhD from Loughborough University, where he conducted research on advanced flood warning systems. Along with his academic supervisor, Avi spun out the technology he developed into Previsico, with the mission of minimizing the global impact of flooding.
Well, Avi, thank you for joining us. I'm really very grateful for your time and certainly for your expertise. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to co-found Previsico.
It's a story that's actually began well before I even got into research. So I joined a university in the UK called Loughborough University as a PhD researcher back in 2015. And I joined a project on flood forecasting that had been running for about 20 years. So Loughborough University has kind of an academic team that really focus on flood forecasting and flood modeling. And I did my PhD at the university working on an adjacent project to a flood forecasting solution that was really focused on capturing pluvial flash flooding and complementing existing government warning systems. And it was a very successful research project that was piloted with the UK government. And it was so successful that there was a lot of kind of calls for it to be commercialized and spun out. And the research project was being led by my PhD supervisor at the time, Professor Yu. And so having finished my PhD, I have done some further research on the project, I felt that it was a really important next step was actually to try and commercialize it. A lot of research these days stays on the shelf and doesn't get used. And there's so much coming out of our universities across the globe that could really make a huge difference to people's lives. And so I've been really keen to make sure that actually the output of the technology gets used. And so convinced him to form a company together. And given that both of us were academics, we've also then brought a CEO in a person called Jonathan Jackson, who's a serial entrepreneur. And together we kind of built the company up really around a mission to minimize impact of flooding globally. And we do that by providing early warning to help people take preventative action.
So tell me, just as a level set, there's different types of flooding, right? And you're involved in one of them. Can you just describe those different types just so that everybody's kind of on the same page?
Yes, of course. So there's three main different types of flooding. There's rivers. So I think we all kind of familiar when river level rises over tops. Likewise, coastal flooding, particularly across the US, a huge problem, storm surges. But actually the largest flood risk, and in most countries, it is estimated to be far more than rivers and the sea combined, is surface water or pluvial flooding or stormwater. It's called different things in different places, but ultimately when heavy rainfall overwhelms local drainage. And the challenge when, you know, if the Mississippi is going over top, you'll know about it. There'll be really effective government warnings. There'll be advice. There's systems in place. But when heavy rainfall is overwhelming your local drain outside your home, that's when actually that can catch you off guard and can cause all sorts of problems. And so that's the type of flooding which it's the largest flood risk, and it's also the flood risk that catches people off guard most of the time. And that's where we really made sure that we are always complementing the wider government warning systems that are already in place by then capturing those localized floods.
So it's that flood I'm sent out in my raincoat with my shovel to clear the drain. I'm very thrilled to do that. That kind of stuff, right? So can you explain your solution and how, and you mentioned earlier you have a flood warning system. How does that differ from other flood warning systems?
So there's the flood warning systems most of us will become familiar with is from the government. So the National Weather Service provides weather alerts and also kind of flood warnings. If large river systems or coastal storm surges are occurring, there'll be a warning out that these areas are at elevated risk. And so those are really based on kind of gauges on the ground and engineering teams who might be out there in the field who know what's going on. And so those are run by governments and are really effective and have proven typically the return on investment of those sorts of systems are about 400 to 500 to 1 based on kind of the dollar in, dollar out. So they're really effective. Now, what we do is those are also kind of available to the government, available to businesses. But what we do then is we complement those by, again, capturing those flash floods, the floods that do really kind of catch people off guard in the pluvial and small streams and surface water. And so the way we do that is using a combination of different technologies, the main ones being live hydrodynamic modeling and also on-site sensors. So we've got our own IoT devices where we're monitoring what's happening on the ground with our own devices as well as other existing devices. And then we're running continuous simulations to be able to forecast exactly where, based on the current conditions, where we expect flooding to occur.
So I noticed on your website, one of your testimonials is from a small town, I guess, Wally. Obviously, they're a customer. What is your typical customer? Like, who is your target customer?
Wally is quite a unique one where it's a small community. Our average customer tends to be kind of larger infrastructure companies. So we work with the likes of National Grid, United Utilities, Network Rail, large infrastructure companies, be they kind of water utilities, power energy. But the thing we noticed straight from day one, everyone floods. And everyone wants to have better warning for floods. And so while our sweet spot has always been kind of the big national infrastructure organizations, actually, we also work a lot with real estate and housing. So our largest customer segment is actually social housing. And then we also work with local governments. So that's also a huge sector for us. But then our other sectors would also be retail and real estate and highways. So wherever flooding occurs, people often, we get a lot of inbound interest from all sorts of different parts.
Great. So when we think about early warning, and our podcast here is about predict and prevent. So how early are you able to give warnings of potential flooding? Like, what kind of time frame?
So our standard solution is really to provide up to 48 hours, so 2 days flood forecast ahead of time. That's using kind of rainfall and modeling. But what we are also able to do now is also provide a lot of really useful insights based on our on-site instrumentation, so our sensors, to be able to indicate actually is this location now actually at an increased risk than it normally would be. But our standard solution provides up to 48 hours warning ahead of time, which is, I think, what most people really need to start preparing.
So I imagine it's a series of overlays, right? It's like this sort of piece of real estate, if you will, this location is more prone to flooding, and that's one sort of view on it. And then you have other views on top of it, like the weather and stuff like that. Is that kind of the way that works?
So there's a little bit about the history, but the challenge with all history is, again, we are living in a very changeable world, and what used to flood actually might not always be what's now going to flood in the future. So just because your property might not have flooded in the past, actually, it still means it might be at quite high risk. So we're running continuous models ahead of time using event-specific modeling. So you can have situations where actually less rainfall might cause more flooding purely based on where it's falling. So all of our models run event-specific ahead of time. Now, what that means is actually, I mentioned that the two-day lead time is kind of what the forecasting can provide up to that level. But actually, a lot of the time, too, you will just have really sharp cloud bursts. And these can cause flooding that actually can only be predicted 3 or so hours ahead of time. So it's really very much weather dependent, particularly on how much lead time we're able to provide.
The recent flooding in Dubai, yes. was that surface flooding of the sort that you would have been able to predict? Or is that, I don't know what the nature of that flooding was.
So yeah, that was intense rainfall completely overwhelming the local drainage systems and causing streams and rivers. So that is our sweet spot, those sorts of floods. So that's where the government may have known that there was heavy rainfall forecast, but they might not have known exactly where it would flood. Using modeling, you can then predict exactly which specific locations are at immediate risk. And then using sensors too, you can then understand exactly what's happening where and at what time.
So there would have, if you were to have contracted with the Dubai government, you would have installed a series of sensors and done some real-time mapping, right?
Yes. We were not there at the time. So we we're not currently live in Dubai, but I'm sure we'll be speaking to them at some point.
Yeah, it's just been in the news. So I thought, I wonder if that would have been a good application. So this is very fascinating to me because obviously flood, as you said, is a huge risk, and the damage from flood monetarily is very significant. As you look out a few years, how do you see your company expanding and what kind of enhancements do you see to the solutions that you have today?
So we started off in the UK, that's still where a large number of our customers are based. But last year we launched in the US and have grown quite quickly. So we're now kind of live across 11 states, and we'll be expanding across the rest of the US. And I mentioned earlier a few of our target customers, some of those core segments. We work very closely in partnership with a large number of different insurers. And the reason we do that is to support their customers. So especially if insurers, we work with the likes of Zurich and Liberty. So when their customers are immediately at risk, we work with them to support them ahead of time with early warning and kind of practical insight on where the impact might occur. And that then causes a win-win because the customer prevents loss, the insurer has a lower overall risk. So everyone's a winner there. Where we are growing very much is on kind of both geographically, but then also working, especially embedding kind of in the wider insurance proposition to customers to ensure that they've got all the tools they need to prevent the loss before it ever occurs. And in terms of kind of the peril itself, there's lots of different drivers of flooding, and there's government warning systems are really effective, but they do have gaps in certain areas. So what we always do is work to complement what is already there. And there's certainly quite a few other kind of areas which still catch people off guard. And those are areas that we're growing into.
Let me just dig into how you work with insurers. In terms of integration, are there different tools or approaches that you use to integrate? Can you just describe how that works, especially like your warning systems or your warning notifications within their processes?
Of course, and it really does vary customer by customer. So the easiest way for a lot of insurers, and different insurers might have different levels of tech stacks available to support customers. So what we often do to get started is an insurer will see our service working for one of their customers and say, well, actually, one of my other customers might actually also really benefit from this. So let's work on a project to support that other customer. And the great thing there is we work directly with the customer. The customer signs up, the customer uses the service, embeds in their operation. So the insurer itself can actually keep can be as hands-on, as hands-off as they want. They don't need to be involved at all. But what we do, for example, with Liberty is actually they use our API. So all of our data, all of our insights are available via API. So they then embed, they've got their platform called Risk Reduce, so Liberty Specialty Markets, and they embed all of our insights into their Risk Reduce platform so that they can then deliver those to their customers. So that's then kind of part of the wider risk management solution that the insurer provides. And what we're seeing a lot of right now, there are quite a few insurers really expanding their kind of risk management proposition, that, you know, their prevention proposition. Every insurer of a certain size has some form of, you know, prevention proposition that they give to their customers. And what we're seeing is just huge demand to support those, because it's really what is starting to differentiate insurers in the last few years, but it's very much an accelerating trend.
Yeah, I mean, that we very much believe that, right? It's like, let's try to prevent things from happening rather than trying to indemnify after the fact, right? Everybody's happier. So what are some of the challenges? You know, most of the people that listen to this podcast will be in risk management and insurance. So, you know, as an organization working with folks in risk management and insurance, what are some of the challenges you see for insurers and their customers as we make the move that you mentioned to a more preventative market?
So I think it's a number of stakeholders that are involved, firstly, mm-hmm. in actually taking preventative action. So sometimes if you talk to a chief risk officer, they might not know exactly across their portfolio too much about the day-to-day kind of flood incidents. So you might have, you know, one factory go down for, you know, a day due to flooding that actually might not ever go into an insurance claim and might never kind of be escalated. Likewise, a kind of incident response team will be very localized. So some chief risk officers will be very close to those day-to-day operations. Some of them won't be. And so you've got kind of maintenance teams, health and safety teams, ops teams really on the ground taking those preventive actions. Then you've got kind of the risk management team and the insurance buyers who then have their relationship with the insurer. Then you've got the insurer who then normally has been used to dealing with, you know, large claims. And ultimately, what you then have is a huge opportunity from the insurer, first of all, to say, well, actually, right now, you have your total cost of risk. You have the incidents that are occurring on the ground that never go to the insurance side. You've got the premium. You've got all of these other, you've got the, you know, deductible. You've got all these other costs. We want to grow our proposition to help you well beyond just your insured risk. And that's what a lot of insurers are starting to do. And right now, especially, you know, where they've been at in the last few years is actually not getting too involved with those kind of more day-to-day incidents. And as you do so, you're involving a wider range of stakeholders, especially kind of the on-site ground team. And this is where we've had the most success, is actually getting the solution to the hands of people who are actually then using it operationally. And sometimes that works really straightforward and really kind of simply. Other times, you know, you do need to then talk to the organization, kind of learn a little bit more about what they're, who's responding and to and where. The challenge is really around getting the solution from the high level kind of insurance risk management and then right down to the end user, the people who are then responding to floods on the ground. And maintenance teams are often the ones who are involved in that, but there's also health and safety, there's ESG and risk management and operations. And often those teams do not normally engage that closely with the insurance buyer. And they should, because how well a risk is managed is all part of how well the insurance buyer then tells their story, presents their risk to the broker, and shows how insurable they are. And so the better you are at risk management, the lower your risk in theory should be. That doesn't always happen, because it's all about how you tell your story and how you sell your own risk to your insurer. And that's certainly one thing we've noticed. It's such a huge opportunity for the insurer to get closer and for organization to those kind of on-site operations teams and for those teams to actually better align what they're doing to what the insurer wants to see across organization, and to really support kind of the risk, the insurance buyer, because that certainly there's just so much that you can do to showcase and to prove that you've actually reduced and are better managing that risk. And so it's a, as you said, it's certainly a challenge, but it's also a major opportunity because it allows insurers to get way more embedded with their customers.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And as you say, I think what I hear you saying, and I agree with, is it allows the insurer to kind of create more stickiness, if you will, with the insurance buyer, because you're bringing more expertise, more people, and a better relationship, right? Across a broader spectrum of sort of risk management. And you know, a lot of the good people that work at insurance companies that maybe don't always have customer-facing roles, they can in this kind of thing, which should make that a more stable and long-lasting relationship. That's kind of what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely. And certainly on the insurance side, I think a lot of organizations look to the likes of FM Global as real leaders and really getting out there on site with the customer, really integrating the risk management to the wider insurance proposition. And I think a lot of other insurers look to FM Global as an example of how you can really connect those in a far more effective way. And certainly what we found is our technology is one of those examples of how you can really get closer to that on-site team to prevent the best.
Tell us what your experience has been in terms of communication or storytelling, both internally to an insurance company and externally with their customers.
Yeah, sure. So as I mentioned, a lot of the end users will be kind of people on the ground, site managers, operations teams, and what the work that they do on responding to incidents, be they flood, wind, hail, anything, a lot of what they do doesn't always get then escalated back up. And a lot of the time it's because they don't know how valuable their actions are actually across the rest of the organization. And what we see day in, day out is really effective risk management going on and insurers really wanting to hear about that, but actually that message not always being passed up and down the chain, kind of what exactly insurers want to see and hear from their customers and the customers realizing what they need to present back to the insurer. Certainly, as you said, risk and prevention is a huge part of the insurer proposition moving forward. But to make it effective, you need to see how well it's being used. And to do so, you need to get closer to the people who will be then using it. And so I think that there's a lot of opportunity for better communication across the risk management chain on actually how is the risk being managed, how could the risk be better managed, how does that make a difference to the wide insurance proposition, and certainly that is another win-win for both the insurer and the insured, because the better they're communicating their risk, the more likely that they're able to build a better relationship with that insurer. So it's a huge opportunity moving forward, and I think any insurer that's starting to work on prevention in their agenda will be seeing that right now.
You know, it's funny you say that, because in the course of this podcast, we've talked to several organizations that are doing this type of predict and prevent, and that has been something of a theme. And, you know, another way to look at that is, you know, does the leadership of the insurer, who, you know, they're very busy doing great work, making a lot of people's lives better and safer. But if they look at this, I think, as, you know, it's a mindset change that's actually an organizational culture change that needs to be communicated and sort of, you know, led throughout the organization. Does that make sense to you? Does that resonate?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think, you know, it's a hugely exciting and challenging role to be in the risk management team, because the risk manager, especially chief risk officer, has so many things that they need to focus on, so many risks that they need to address. And some of them will get more stuck in than others, but certainly they need help. That's certainly a common theme, and they need help both from the insurer and they need help from their internal teams.
Avi, you mentioned that you recently made the move from the UK to the US. Can you just give us a little more detail? How did that look? Who are you working with, and how extensive is that?
As soon as we started the company back in 2019, we grew out in the UK, but we started processing data in the US. So as part of our solution, there's a lot of data preparation and processing to make sure that our forecasting is as accurate as possible. And last year, we finally made the leap and launched in the US too, in partnership with a number of different insurers. So we're working with both insurers and customers now in the US to reduce overall risk. And we've had some really good case studies from both New York and other kind of states in the area, use it with both kind of the sensors and the forecasting. And so we're starting to see a lot of growth in that space, particularly across the East Coast.
I think your vision of how insurers and their clients will work going forward is exactly correct, in my opinion. And certainly the technology that you've built is sort of a key enabler, I think, for organizations that utilize it in the flood area to kind of realize that vision for the insurer and for their customers. Mm. Yeah. So thank you very much. Certainly appreciate your time. This is fascinating to me, I have to say. I went through your whole website and looked at the testimonials, and they're pretty compelling. I would definitely encourage folks to look at your website. And certainly, you know, best of luck. I think you'll have great success, certainly in the US, because it's a big market and has a lot of need for this. So, and thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Predict and Prevent is a podcast brought to you by the Institutes. Subscribe on your preferred listening platform and join us for future episodes where we continue to dig into this approach and the opportunities it's creating for risk management and insurance.